Welcome back. Thanks for clicking download. One and all to Tango TV's premier interviewing show. Today we really do have someone who's a veteran on the show, and we're all eager to hear what he has to say, talk about some of his past works. It's Adam Windsor, a.k.a. Capellan, on Tango TV.
Hi.
Hello, sir. And, of course, joined by co-caster Matt Tropiano.
Hello.
Just to touch briefly upon, you've returned to the Dim community after a hiatus. I actually thought it was the only hiatus you had, but apparently there have been spots where you've been absent.
So the last time I was probably active in the community was around the time Alien Vendetta came out.
Sure.
Which came about because Brad Spencer emailed me to ask if he could use a level I had created some years before as part of one of his submissions to the project.
Mm-hmm.
I said yes, and then, of course, I played AV. So I was around for a while then. And then I stopped playing Doom again for a while. And I came back in about 2008, actually, which is when I made my
community
chest format.
Chest
which,
format right, yeah.
Which just goes to show how long that project took to come out. so I had time to kind of, you know, make that map and then not look at Doom for about 18 months and then come back and the project still wasn't done. So, and then I've been around, pretty much solidly for the last year or so, which is probably down to the Megawad Club as much as anything.
Yeah. Mm. Right. And those brief periods in which you were absent from Doom, was that because you had a lack of interest in it, or just life situations getting in the way and screwing everything up for us?
A bit from column A, a bit from column B.
Right. Okay.
The only time that I probably ever sort of stopped playing Doom and thought, that I wasn't ever going to go back was probably in the late 90s, once Quake had come out and it seemed like the community
right, yeah.
was...
Twilight years.
Yeah, I keep coming back to the game for the fundamental gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
These modern day shooters, you know, I enjoy many of them, but they have a different style of play than Doom.
Right. Do you think if there was like an adequate replacement, then you'd make the switch?
I don't think I'd ever stop completely. I mean, I find Borderlands is the most Doom-like experience that I've had in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy playing it very much, but I like the simplicity and directness of Doom and the lack of bells and whistles. It's just an engine for killing things, basically.
That's a very good way to put it. It's like it's a first-person shooter in elemental form. Raw.
Yes.
Just like that. Let's, I mean, you've been involved in some very interesting things of late, all community-oriented, mind you. And, of course, you've actually proposed a new community Megawad, or perhaps was it intended to be a Megawad at the start? I'm not sure. That was 100 lines, which I think cropped up yesterday.
Yeah, that looks like something very, very interesting that I'd want to probably get in on as well.
No?
Yeah, I've been, toying with the idea of trying to do a really minimalist level, like with the 100 lines limit, for about a week now, which arose out of realizing just how many lines, like even the smallest level, has these days. I mean, I have a map sitting on my hard drive that I haven't released anywhere that is functionally like three rooms, and it's 600 line depths.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it thinking, you know, I mean, that's cool, and you know, modern maps look great, and they have all this cool detail, and all the rest of it. And I was thinking, you know, that it gets used a bit as a crutch.
Sure.
And if we strip it back and just go, okay, you know, you've got a really, really tough limit to work with, what can you do? And so I've been thinking about it for a week, and then I sat down yesterday and knocked out the level and posted it, and, you know, basically said, hey, if you think you want to have a go, have a go. And if we get a bunch of submissions, we'll probably, you know, package them up and put them on id Games, but I don't sort of want to say, oh, it's a community Megawad. It's just an experiment. You know, I think that term community Megawad brings a whole lot of baggage with it.
It certainly does.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
This is just, you know, hey, here's a set of criteria, you know, make a map, and if you have fun making it, great. And, you know, if you think it's a silly idea, you can just stay clear.
There is a school of thought that says that detailing is best brought about through making intricate sectors, small uses of lines, I guess. And I suppose this project would reinforce that school of thought by saying, you know, relying on texture selection to do the detailing, that sort of thing. and other mapping techniques in order to bring the map to life, not rely so much on the itty-bitty detailing that before so many mappers, I feel, nowadays. So I think it would be, in that respect, an interesting project to take part in. Now, Tarnsman has actually sent in a question here, because he's not... specifically for this... I guess since he feels he's not on the program, he has to make some sort of contribution this time. Specifically about 100 lines, in which he's not actually convinced that it's the best idea. He thinks it's probably far too limiting compared to something like, say, 10 sectors, where he thinks more interesting things could be done. Perhaps you could convince Tarnsman otherwise.
Mm. Well, the number of people have said in the thread, you know, 100 seems really tough, you know, you make a decent level in 100 lines. I guess possibly because I started fiddling with level design in 1994, when 500 lines was a pretty big level, the idea of doing a level in sort of 200 or 300 lines, to me, is just like, yeah, I mean, you know, seen hundreds of levels like that, and making the level restriction really tight forces you to really think about what you're doing with your lines and how you're laying your level out, and what textures you're using. I mean, 10 sectors I thought was a really cool project. I have played a few maps from that Megawad. And lots of really sort of clever things done with the sector design. But one of the things that I did notice was that when it comes to putting detail into Doomwads, it's the line defs that really proliferate.
Right.
When you start doing like wall insets and little steps and borders and things like that, you can often merge a lot of those things together as a sector. So that you have 10 or 20 sectors, you can actually still throw a lot of detail in. It's like, okay, well, how do you actually stop people from just working around the limit and building their detail in a new way?
Gotta force them.
So some people have said, you know, 100 seems very tough, why not 200 or 500? And I think, you know, if you want to do a level to 200 or 500, you know, go right ahead. I mean, if that's your comfort level of, you know, I like to do a 1,000 line def map and I'm going to try and do it in 300 or 400 instead, then go right ahead. I mean,
sure.
Yeah. But good art is made through suffering, I find. you really gotta create like a really confined space or a really, really a small limit so that you get the real creativity coming out and everybody's maps.
I think when actually Tarnsman posed that question, he wasn't getting so much at the number of lines that are provided. I'm pretty sure he would have asked the same question had it been 300 or 400 lines. I think he was talking more about the concept, and that so far as limiting the mapper in order to sort of produce creativity, there could be other ways to go about it, rather than line reduction, for example.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is why he actually highlighted 10 sectors. I think he thinks that you can get more out of that and so far as you can limit the player to produce some creative maps.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that what makes, you know, all of these projects like Monochrome and like the idea of 100 lines and like 10 sectors is the fact that you're imposing, and 5 rooms as well, is that you're imposing some kind of arbitrary restriction and asking people to work to them. And I think one of the disappointments of Monochrome was that there was an awful lot of wiggle room seems to have ended up in the project. Colored lighting and, oh, well, it's, you know, it's not actually...
Strictly speaking, Monochrome.
Yeah. You know, and things like that. And so I wanted, you know, when I was thinking about ways, you know, and limiting stuff like that, I was thinking about, well, you know, how do you impose that restriction and then give people that, you know, that limit to try and work around. And, you know, I mean, we've had 10 sectors and it was a good project and, you know, it would be probably good to revisit as well. But I thought, you know, this was one way of really, really kind of making people think about their layouts a lot more. Like with 10 sectors, you can be clever and you can create 10 different sectors and then you can create a pretty large you know, sprawling level using those 10 sectors, uh-huh. just by using the join sector command over and over again. And with 100 lines, you've got a much, I think, much more rigorous kind of standard to try and work with. Even 100 vertices is a lot easier to create detail with, because you can have half a dozen lines coming off a single vertex.
Sure.
Right, yeah.
So that's where it came from, basically.
Cool. It's a very, very interesting set of rules to actually impose, because, like, you know, these days we have, like, all these ports that can do so much additional geometric stuff, and, you know, we have the system memory and computing resources to do it. But I too personally would like to see kind of like that, not just on a nostalgic sense, but like more on like a technical sense, like people going back to just a smaller set of resources, because you know, you give anybody any kind of limits and they'll try to find ways around it to try to fit their types of editing styles or habits in. But I don't know. I think that the 100 line thing is definitely one of those things that kind of isn't too easily workable around, and that's why I think we would get some plenty of interesting things to see out of it.
Sure. I think it does actually force a certain kind of creativity in a very specific way, which is one thing that I do think it has going for it, compared to, say, Monochrome, which, rather than encouraging the player to go about creating the map in a very specific way, would demand that they focus entirely on all other aspects of the map but one. By removing the sort of texture selection, they have to focus on lighting, on architecture, and all these sort of things in order to enhance them, to make objectives in the map seem stand out a lot more. So I think it's actually quite unique in that respect, and I'd very much like to see what sort of maps come out of it. What I've been doing myself, since it would effectively be, so it wouldn't be speed mapping, but it'd be a lot easier to do, and I'm supremely lazy, so it'd be easy for me. Let's go back to your origins of Duno. How did you get involved in the game? Was it a very similar story to everyone else, I imagine? How did you get involved in mapping, I guess, more to the point?
I got involved in Doom because a friend from high school brought me the shareware.
Cool guy.
And said, you have this. And I was like, man, it's an action game. I don't like action games. and I'm a strategy guy. And he said, no, you really have to try it. And I did, and I was hooked. As far as the map making thing goes, I'm a fantasy gaming geek from way back, playing Dungeons and Dragons and the like, and running games. And so, you know, as soon as it became evident that you could make your own levels for Doom, I was going to do it. And again, you know, someone from high school downloaded, it was a DEU5.
The Doom editing utility.
Yeah, with knee deep in the DEU.
Yeah, that episode. I remember that. Like, there were a bunch of books that like were published with that disc.
Man, I feel so ill-educated now.
and I installed that and started fiddling with that. It took a long time. You know, I mean, there was not a lot of documentation back then,
right.
And it took a long time. Yeah. Like, I didn't know what upper texture unpegged meant or anything like that. And
those were the days. Yeah, those were the days.
Yeah, and, I mean, when I first got it, DEU had a functional level limit size of about 80k, because it was just running in the native 640k of DOS accessible memory. It hadn't had an extender put on it at that point, and so if you went above about 80k, it just ran out of memory and collapsed. And then a few months later, they put the extender in it, and you could get sort of more and more complicated levels.
You're more interested in releasing maps standalone. Taking a look at some of your releases between 95 and 96 is where the majority of them are. And then, of course, Demon Fear was actually comprised of something like 8 or 9 parts before it was finally actually compiled into a megawatt in the year 2000. So, but even back then, I mean, you're very... I guess it wasn't as easy to get involved in sort of community efforts as it would be today, of course. But you did your best, of course, as was seen in your involvement in things like Memento Mori 2, Requiem Strain, the docking stuff.
That's a bit of an interesting question. How was that all coordinated back then?
Exactly.
Was that like through BBS or like message boards or just straight up mailing lists?
Mostly it was people setting up their own mailing lists on mail servers. Memento Mori 2, the Mulder brothers actually like put out like thing on it was like on Rec Games Doom or something like that.
Right.
You know, back in the old Usenet days, saying, hey, if you think you've got the chops to be on the project, send a sample map to this email address.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent them some Demon Fear levels, maps 21 to 25, actually. I got basically got back the response of, you know, as long as the level you submit is a lot bigger, which I was expecting, and then you're in. And then they set up a mailing list that you just emailed, and it automatically then emailed it back out to everyone on the project. Requiem worked similarly, as I recall, and Strain as well. Both of those projects I actually got involved with because someone who was already involved with them contacted me. Bill Clendon, who wrote the unofficial WoD Designer's Handbook, who I knew through FidoNet Doom, was on both of those projects, and they were looking for map makers, and he said, hey, I know Adam Windsor, I'll contact him. So that's how I got involved in both of those.
Process incredibly different than it is today, then.
Goes
without saying. I guess we're jumping forward a little bit. I'm not very familiar with many of your own standalone releases. When you were releasing them, were you just excited to be making maps, I guess? Were you looking for any specific sort of feedback or something, looking to improve in future? Because, I guess at the time you say, when you got to around, like, 96, 97, when Quake came out, you sort of, everything was in decline. So you were just sort of jumping on the bandwagon and getting some releases going, standalone stuff, not necessarily looking to improve yourself as a level designer or anything?
I always sort of created levels. I mean, when I started creating levels, it was back in, you know, before Doom 2 had come out. They were frankly terrible. and they were mostly designed, with the intent of having my friends die in them a lot.
Excellent.
Which is not an approach I take to level design these days. I know some designers sort of think in terms of, you know, this is where I'm going to kill the player the first time.
Yeah. It's funny you should mention that because like it seems you just said of your background of like, you know, you like the role playing and all that stuff. Again, were you ever a dungeon master of any sort?
Yeah.
Back then?
I still am.
He still is.
So thankfully those levels are as far as I know no longer available anywhere. Because they were pretty awful. And then as I got to know more about how to put Doom levels together, I became sort of more interested in creating levels that looked good and played well, rather than just killed my friends. And so Talons of the Beast, which was like a 7-level set that I did, was probably the first time that I was making more of an effort to...
Right.
Create interesting environments, and I rejigged 3 of those levels, like the best 3 of those 7 later, into a single short WoD. So,
and when you sit down to make a map now, compared to when you did it back there, is the process a lot different? Would you deliberate much more over a map, or would you get stuck in just immediately? I mean, what's the process when you sit down at the computer?
I've had several different processes depending on the map. My Community Chest 4 map really arose out of having a mental image of these sort of 2 towers flanking a gate and building a large kind of set piece around that gate. So that first sort of act of my Community Chest 4 map was the visual that I had, and then everything. And then once I got inside, I was like, oh, I want to have a door that starts locked, and you need to go and unlock it. And so it just, that was a fairly organic growth to the map, which was similar to how I did my Memento Mori 2 map. But then like all of the Demon Fear maps were often sort of mapped out on grid paper before I actually sat down at the computer.
All right, yeah.
Because editing tools were quite a bit more primitive back then.
The systems probably weren't really up to snuff and so much as like being a lot easier to work on. Like it was back then easier to just sketch it out on paper.
Yeah. Well, I used to have a batch file that would launch Death as it ended up becoming, and then I would edit the map, and then when I exited Death, the batch file would automatically do the BSP and launch Doom with the map, in no monsters mode, so I could wander around and check stuff because obviously you had no visual mode or anything like that.
Right.
And then I would come back out and do it. And I mean, just that sort of BSP process on a decent sized map was sort of taking, 30 seconds at a time. Whereas nowadays you just, close Doom Builder and it's all done.
Right. incidentally, there was a lot of talk when Doom the way it did was getting underway of, we weren't discussing it seriously, but it did crop up the idea of a megawatt where, these participants would be forced to, revert to the primitive stages when it came to map design and use, such, next computers and anything they could get their hands on to make, the experience, more of a hassle for them. We've been spoiled with modern features and Doom Builder 2 and the like.
Who needs previews?
Yeah.
Who needs previews?
Yeah, well, my community chest format,
yeah.
Was made in Death.
Excellent.
Wow.
Probably the only one
I imagine so. I used Death and BSP to make that map.
Was that just old habits die hard? And you had
basically, I knew how to use Death. I have an XP laptop that's about 9 years old now. That can handle Death, so I just did it all on that, basically. I mean, at the time, obviously, it was 5 years ago now, so the computer was still actually only a few years old, but, I think the 100 Lines map is the first from-scratch Doom Builder 2 map.
No kidding.
Wow.
That's yesterday.
Yeah. The map that I did for Doom 2 in name only, I did in Death.
Right.
And the map that I've done for Switcheroom, I did in DB2, but I've done, it's E3M9 redone as episode 2.
Okay, so
it's E2M9. I only did half of that because it's built out of somebody else's, remake of E3M1.
Sure.
Right.
So it's not from scratch because somebody else did half the work. That 100 Lines map is the first map that I have released that was solely made in Doom Builder 2.
Alien Vendetta, was that the first thing you partook in after your 4 or 5 year hiatus after in 96?
I think after Requiem. I mean, I didn't really take part in Alien Vendetta. I had done a map a couple of years earlier, around the time Requiem came out, which was intended to be sort of map one of a new project.
Right.
And Brad had done map two, and maybe map three was his as well, I don't remember. But he basically contacted me and said, hey, I want to merge your map one and my map two and three together to make a single map for this new project. Is that okay? And I said, sure.
Just thinking off the top of my head what your involvement was. Was it just map 12?
The first sort of quarter of map 12 up until you get to the long lift was going to be map one of a... But actually a project that was very similar in concept to Doom 2 in name only, which is, remaking the levels based on the level names.
Oh, sweet.
So I had made Entryway, Brad asked to use it, and I said yes, and then I played AV and had a really good time with it, so...
Perhaps your involvement there was all that was required for you to get another sniff.
Yeah, perhaps, it was, and I got back involved in playing, and then there was another long break after a while, where I was probably playing massive amounts of Civilization 3 or something like that.
Once you get bitten by the bug, man, it's hard to let it go.
It is.
I kind of had a question about Strain way back when. Yeah, and the Alpha Dog Alliance, which was basically, I guess, a collection of prominent or well-known Doom Map authors back then. But it seems like with the whole putting together of Strain, where it's, you know, half dehacked hacking, and then there's or like executable hacking, and the other half is getting, I guess, a lot of the graphics and resources together. How is that all coordinated, Adam?
Well, Charlie, was it Patterson, I think it was his surname? was the project lead on that, and he really directed all of that stuff. I got involved once pretty much everything was in place, in terms of the replacement monsters and things like that. So they had all their resources in line when Bill McClendon contacted me and said, hey, do you want to make an app for this project? And I said, sure. And I made, I think it was map 4 for them.
I believe so, yes.
And I was supposed to make map 12 as well, but I kind of didn't. which is entirely on me. It was around the time that really struggling to get Requiem out, and I wasn't as thrilled with Strain as a project at the time. Everything about running the project and everything like that was great. I wasn't a huge fan of a lot of the new monsters and the puzzly oriented gameplay of the project. Mm-hmm. And as it turned out, Bill McClendon ended up making such a monstrously large map 11 that they had to split it into two maps anyway. so he just basically moved the second half of his map into my map 12 slot. So like the very exit room, I think, of map 12 was actually something that I put together. supposed to be the end of map 11. But apart from that, it was all Bill's work. So.
So 40 Ounce also sends in a question that I feel is a kind of a then and now type of question, seeing as though you, Adam, are been around since kind of like the beginning, and you're still around now. What changes in public opinion do you feel have happened, and do you think any of them are for better or for worse? For instance, many mappers are going for a more classic approach to the level design in favor of older WoDs, such as Valkyra Force with Reverie and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then we have No End in Sight and Doom the Way It Did. Do you think that these WoDs are kind of on the right track, or do you think they're searching for some kind of nostalgia, or do you think that their approach is in that trying too hard category? What are your feelings on the whole almost getting back to the past sort of attitude that's kind of crept its way back into the Doom community?
Well, I think, Doom came out almost 20 years ago now, later this year. I'm still playing the game because at its heart, it's a really good game. The fundamental Doom experience is, just really, really fun. And I think that is what brings people back to kind of classic Doom. I've said it a number of times in the Doom World Mega WoD thread, and I'm sure I'm going to say it again. I'm not a fan of gimmicks in Doom. Pure, straight-up classic Doom action.
What would you define as that? Is it just the monsters? Is it part with the map design? What would you consider as a classic Doom gameplay?
Classic gameplay has a large variety and number of monsters. It has fast-paced action. It's not a game about sort of slowly creeping around and using stealth. It's an action game.
I'll ask questions later.
You want to be running and gunning and under pressure and doing cool stuff so I think that is what people are trying to recapture, is that essence of the Doom experience. And Yeah, I think that, once upon a time people were, you look at some of the things that came out, particularly in the very late 90s, and where people were just sort of really trying to do amazingly complex architecture and the like, which when you consider the tools they were using is pretty bold of them. And there had been a move away from that sort of original Doom kind of gameplay to a more stilted kind of set piece action, mm-hmm. Where it was, here is the encounter and you have the encounter, and then, more of a modern shooter kind of thing where you have your encounter where the enemies spawn and then you have your cutscene.
Felt
a bit more like that style of play, and I think that this sort of reversion to, the classic is probably, embracing what is different about Doom.
It's interesting how you define a classic Doom in that sense, because especially when you were talking about Strain and how much you weren't such a fan of the sort of puzzle-oriented direction that they were going in, mentioning how much you dislike gimmicks. And then it occurred to me, well, not so much on the puzzle front, but certainly Doom 2 is a... it's a very gimmick-oriented, thanks to Sandy Peterson's presence.
Yeah, I would agree.
Map set. Incidentally, working on something like Doom 2 the way it did, where we're trying to recreate as best we can the styles, the designers for that map set, it occurred to me just how... people remember it with a fondness, but the sort of gameplay that you experience in Doom 2 isn't really replicated that often, I find, in modern map sets. It's actually more akin to a sort of a Doom 1 style of play, but using the Doom 2 features with the bestiary and the like.
And I have to say that from day one, I was never a fan of the Doom 2 IWOD maps.
Damn it, Sandy.
and not just Sandy Peterson's, but all of them. I didn't enjoy them as much as Doom 1's maps.
Yep.
I thought they did it. I thought it did a really great job of expanding the bestiary.
Yep.
Like the new monsters are really cool. They add great tactical considerations that you didn't have in Doom 1's bestiary.
Right.
How to deal with all of these new monsters and I just thought the levels really didn't deliver. It's still a fun game to play. Any game with a double barrel shotgun is going to be.
Hey.
But it was always from the beginning, I thought, I wish these levels had had sort of the care and attention put into them that Episode 1 did.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's probably a bit of a loaded question, unless you can think of any off the top of your head, but are there any map sets that come to mind that really epitomize the sort of ideal that you have with regards to playing Doom? Perhaps those that don't, other than Doom 2, that do it very badly, or so go in the direction that you wouldn't prefer?
This is entirely a matter of personal taste, but I'm not a fan of Strain's gameplay. Once you get past about level 12 or something, and they get sort of really kind of puzzle oriented, and there are teleporting pillar puzzles and things like that, nothing interests me less in a Doom level than logic puzzles. I've never been a fan of TNT's work for similar reasons. They tend to have a lot of that kind of stuff that I was interested in doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I did always enjoy, the Mulder Brothers stuff. I loved the first Memento Mori when it came out. Having replayed it recently, it hasn't aged all that well.
In what way is that again? It hasn't aged well.
There is some non-intuitive progress to be made. Occasionally, you're sort of expected to just leap into... slime and hope that there's a way out. I think that's, back in 1994, 95, when these things were being worked on, it was expected that everyone was playing maps consecutively, using saves. A designer probably wouldn't think anything of, you just save the game and jump into the pit and see if there's a way out, and if there isn't, you'll be able to save. Whereas I think a lot of
I kind of have a different theory in that regard, like in the terms of like that sort of pitfall or trap is that kind of like Doom's gameplay was kind of arcadey, and so people tried to make maps that were like almost arcadey in that way, like with death traps or stuff like that. But yeah, it does lend itself well to that sort of habit of playing things consecutively, and you could save basically your game state, so there really was no penalty other than going back to a previous save.
Yeah, I think that there was an expectation that you would do that, whereas a lot, I think now there's a, and I think it's actually a good thing that the people nowadays are saying, you know, ideally you should really know where you're supposed to go in a map,
right.
And it should be possible to finish a map on your first attempt,
without prior knowledge of where all the traps
without
are.
Without prior knowledge of where traps are. Like, yep. Sure, have traps and things like that, but they shouldn't
but
be.
Like,
you can only avoid
like,
knowing that they're
yep.
there. And that's signposting for the visual help. I mean, if you put lots of obvious visual cues that there is a trap there, players pick up on them.
Yeah, you'd have to telegraph telegraph traps and certain hazards a lot better. And well, I mean, that seems like it's more of a skill that, you know, veteran mappers pick up over time. It's kind of hard to teach that to, say, newcomers unless they find that they want to imitate the style of, say, another mapper that did that very well.
Yeah, I mean, if you put a plasma rifle on a lighted pedestal in the middle of a dark room and then stick a whole bunch of corpses around it,
yeah,
and somebody picks up the plasma rifle and doesn't expect a trap, they're not paying attention. You know, so I mean, there are Doom conventions that you can use to warn people about traps. You know, and as long as you do that, I think that, you know, that's fine. And a good thing.
Some interesting things coming to mind here. I mean, I think. Conventions have been so ingrained by this stage, or becoming so ingrained, that there's a lot of opportunity to do away with them unexpectedly at certain moments in maps and sort of catch the player off guard. I mean, with that setup that you were hypothesizing there, for the player to pick up the plasma rifle and nothing to come out would be extremely alarming to me, and I would begin to worry what the hell's going on, and probably begin to soil myself. Depending
on the
action
area. At this point, I always expect grabbing a key to unleash some kind of monsters of some kind, but pleasantly surprised when that doesn't happen.
Yes.
And I think that one of the nice things that that Boom, with its moving floors and use of voodoo dolls, can give you is that you can have that kind of obvious trap of the plasma rifle, and they pick it up and nothing happens, but, you know, something has happened, it's set off a voodoo doll, and, you know, 20 seconds from now, you know, all hell is going to break loose.
Now,
so you can mix it up so that they're, you know, they're kind of, oh, nothing happened, and then just as they're starting to relax, you can give them the shock. So you can mess with expectations, but ideally the map should be finishable first time without prior knowledge of what's going to happen.
Now,
is
Boom the most advanced engine you've worked with for Doom? Have you ever gone into the realm of Xenoom or Eternity or the like?
Yeah, no, Boom is the most advanced that I've worked with. I suspect it will be the most advanced that I ever do work with.
Oh, yeah?
You know, Zed Doom has great features, but it starts to feel not like Doom to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I start seeing, you know, slopes and changing the environment in ways that Doom kind of couldn't.
You don't think it's possible to maintain the fact that it feels like Doom, that it plays like Doom, while still adding on certain features to it? Do you think it's a cut-off point, perhaps?
It's probably possible. I think that, you know, Zed Doom having all of those features encourages people to employ them to such, you know, like, you use them because they're
right.
there.
Right, exactly.
If they're not in Doom, it starts to feel less like, to me anyway. I mean, other people obviously may feel differently. And I played, you know, some good Zed Doom levels. It's not, to me, something that I guess I'm looking for in my own level design.
Sure.
Right. I can tell you personally that I am the type of person that, like, you know, I see Z-Doom, but I'm just like, well, this really just affords me some leeway to do some things, like, easier, like, with the details and, like, just, like, it has, I guess, a better, architecture for, like, triggering certain specials in different ways. And I always end up not using anything, like, slopes or of the like, because I still want to keep the gameplay Doom, but I still have a Z-Doom feature creep in there just so I can have an excuse for why I used the port to begin with. But I'm very much myself dialed back into that classic Doom type of feel and gameplay, even when I'm working with anything advanced.
It's interesting when Adam was talking, that was, occurred to me that, yeah, I think it is true that certain mappers, when they perhaps start a project not with anything specific in mind, they're just wanting to use the engine, just wanting to create something with Z-Doom, perhaps they don't have something specifically in mind, which I think would be mandatory, really, if you're going to use an engine like that, really know what you want to get out of it. Otherwise, I think for certain mappers, there is that obligation to use certain features that end up just convoluting and making a mess of things in the end.
I want to say it's like more newer mappers in that regard. Actually, this kind of leads into one question I wanted to ask of you, Adam. How many modern or actually recent add-ons or levels or mods have you played in Doom or of the like, and of what you've played that are, say, recent as as of maybe the past 2 or 3 years, what do you feel is still kind of in the vein of classic Doom, or do you think it's just kind of the community's taken a whole different path since then?
I haven't played a lot of really new stuff except the Mega One Club.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So I played Mayhem from last year. I have actually played Doom the way it did, which wasn't a Mega One Club project.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
Did you play Interception?
I played the first 13 maps of Interception.
Okay, because that was actually purporting to be to harken back to ye old days, according to the text.
Yeah, I on level 14, I accidentally saved over both of my saves while I was dead.
Pistol Start?
Map 14 on Pistol Start, I would not have got very far. map 14 certainly was nothing like classic Doom. A lot of people seem to really enjoy the level. To me, it looked nothing like classic Doom, that map. Some of the earlier maps did. What else have I actually played that was recent? A Taste of Blood, which was like a six map episode. I really enjoyed A Taste of Blood. I thought that was, it used obviously a lot more kind of sophisticated in its looks than classic Doom was. But I thought it had really, enjoyable gameplay.
Yeah, I'm still crossing my fingers, hoping you'd say Coffee Break.
Hey!
Still
stop, crossing my fingers.
What's Coffee Break? What?
Oh.
Is that actually come out in the last couple of years? I didn't look at the release date, I have to admit. So.
2011, isn't it?
That was like about, almost 2 years ago, yeah.
I'm quite disparaging with map 7 of Coffee Break, but apart from that, I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, yuck, map 7, man. Terrible.
Yeah, I don't know, that was kind of phoned in.
it was dead simple remix, I like to see something a little bit more adventurous with map 7, so...
Yeah, you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see a whole... collection of map 7 types of maps, but like make it a contest to see who can do the most creative type of map 7 using the map specials with the Mankabai dying and the Arachnotrons dying type of deal. Or I don't know, maybe I feel that something like that wouldn't go very far, but that was just an idea I had.
For sure. This could be a good opportunity to shoe in the other question that 40 Ants had sent in. And it's one that I actually echo a little bit. I find that with how prolific some of the community projects are today, how often they come out, the people jumping on board and always wanting to take part, and how certain things perhaps weren't intended to be community projects at first, but then escalated and quickly got out of hand and turned into megawatts basically overnight. Myself, personally, I feel that sometimes the speed at which they're done, they're not necessarily nursed or nurtured enough in order to get the best out of the idea which they're going for, which is often very interesting. But 40 Ounce asks that, he says, first of all, you've mapped some of Doom's legendary classic megawatts, such as Memento Mori's, Requiem, Strain, The Darkening, Alien Vendetta. Now that megawatts seem to be popping up pretty regularly, a dime a dozen, do you think that they're starting to lose their charm a little bit? And he adds, do you think megawatts nowadays will be forgotten, like, in a year or two, for the most part? Or is perhaps there still a chance for them to really make their mark in the community and be remembered in the same way that those classics are in the future?
Well, I think that mods like Memento Mori and Requiem and Memento Mori 2 have a great advantage over maps today, which is that they were there when Doom was huge. And so an awful lot of people played them, and an awful lot of people have very fond memories of them, and memories which may not reflect the reality of the WoD set.
I played Memento Mori recently. I didn't find it much chop, honestly, for the most part.
Yeah.
So I think, map sets today are always going to come up against the fact that they aren't 15-year-old classics. Now that, doesn't mean that they can't be really good levels. I think there's a lot of really, really good levels in Community Chest 4.
Right.
And I think that Taste for Blood, which is not a megawatt but was 6 levels, was also really good. There are a couple of levels of Mayhem that I really enjoyed. And I think that there being more megawatt projects does not necessarily mean that they, can't carve out a niche for themselves, but they are, having to operate without some of the advantages that those older maps sets had of, Memento Mori 2, Requiem, Strain, Icarus. This is in the days where, if you got 3 or 4 megawatts in a year, it was a, it was a banner year.
Whereas now it's a bad turnout.
whereas nowadays it's much easier to put together those map sets, and whilst the community as a whole is smaller, I think it's probably a more engaged community than back then. Memento Mori 2, it only took about 3 months to put together, so it's not like some of these map sets that were made back then took months and months and years to do either. It was just that they were, I guess, less common.
I think that organize them on a whim.
You can go to as it turns out, you can go to Doomworld and say, "Hey, I made a map with 100 lines," and 2 days later there'll be 9 maps with 100 lines. So,
yeah,
split cells. Yeah.
It's probably more difficult to stand out, and I think that's unfortunate, because I think there's some, there are some really good maps being made, but I hope that doesn't stop anybody from making them, because we play and enjoy them nonetheless. So.
Do you not perhaps take issue with the rate, which serves, I guess perhaps not the rate, but the speed at which some of these map sets are made? If you take, because I recall you earlier saying that you took issue with a micro mapping project in part, and then listed your reasons. I mean, is perhaps the way that the project was managed, you would have done it differently, or would you like to see done differently, perhaps being drawn out a little more?
I don't think it's necessarily about the timetable. I think that with monochrome in particular, it was about defining what monochrome meant And I guess that, initially it was, you can have two textures. So it wasn't even that they had to be monochrome. I mean, monochrome is just kind of a useful shorthand for it. Mm-hmm. Five Rooms of Doom, I think, ended up spending, about 1,000 words on exactly what a room was. Because, what exactly a room is in Doom is kind of, again, a fuzzy question.
Yes.
I don't think it's necessarily about the speed at which a map set comes together. You've got to weigh momentum against, the pursuit of quality with any map set, or you get situations where, a map set lingers for years and years and years, like Community Chest 4 did, or a map set, gets a bunch of filler maps slapped into it so it actually comes out.
It might be harder to actually find people to, not follow through, but to get people that are going to be sufficiently engaged, or maybe I don't know whether that's maybe the product of us growing up and having less free time to do Doom related stuff, or whether that's more along the lines of. Actually, I don't even know what it is. Maybe we are growing up.
I think part of it is about the way that projects are run.
Definitely.
Memento Mori 2 was the first project I worked on, and it was very much the Molars project. So whilst everybody who was making levels was involved in the project, at the end of the day, those guys were the innocent crew, and they were the guys who had done the first Memento Mori, and they made the calls. And so if you were on Memento Mori 2 and you turned in a map that they didn't think was good enough, you got told, straight away, that map's not good enough. And it wasn't a case of sugarcoating it. If somebody dropped out of contact, when they were just like, we'll find somebody else.
There's definitely a lot of truth to that back then when the Doom community, in quotes, was massive in size, the people that would be playing Doom, the people that would be creating Doom maps. These days, I'm thinking people are starting to back off of that sort of criticism or turning away because our community has gotten admittedly a lot smaller since, 10 years ago, and maybe that's why people aren't, it's putting their foot down.
And also, you see projects now where they'll say, we've got a check-in of the, the 30th of June is a check-in date. And what check-in date means is I will post to say you're still working on your level.
It's awfully passive.
I understand that you don't want to cut people out who've said that, you've got to find somebody to replace them. And, so I think that people are trying to take a more low-key, kind of less autocratic approach to project management, and I think that has its advantages, but in terms of, I guess, delivery dates, it can make it very, very easy for a project to kind of take longer and longer to do. And when you lose momentum, then projects can founder and just never happen, so...
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess we're talking about checkpoints and the like, and deadlines, myself of which, since I've been project managing Doom 2 the way I did, have been... probably could have been a bit more of a despot about to be perfectly honest with you. I think that it also extends to quality control, people being afraid to oust certain maps, perhaps as the Molars themselves would have done in the past, if not being up to snuff, say, okay, well, you've turned up, you've clearly put in the effort to make a map. I'm not sure how much effort you put in, but here it is, clearly not that much, but I'm afraid to get rid of you, so I'll include it in the map set anyway. And, and it's not that big of a deal because the map set will be out in, 3 months? It's that quick. And you'll be able to redeem yourself perhaps on the next round. it seems that, I mean, to me, I would say that the speed with which they come out, personally, I think, does have a detrimental effect on the overall product.
Mm.
Now, incidentally, when you were talking about Monochrome beforehand, I also got to thinking about Switcheroom, because I also thought Switcheroom, in addition to the five rooms of Doom, which was also very, very, very sketchy, very difficult to target exactly what its goal was, to me, the goals there were also very flimsy as well. And now that it's done, you see certain maps thinking that the goal was one thing, and then other maps thinking it was another. And to me, because I saw the progress from Post One and how that project evolved, people releasing maps before the goal had even been solidified, and yet still the maps were being submitted there. So I guess it's another instance, I find, of speed playing a negative factor.
I guess people get excited about a different idea and they go off based on their understanding of it at the time.
Yeah.
And start producing stuff. That does happen, and I think that also, with Memento Mori 2 and with Requiem, the brief was make a level, for Doom, and they had, they had some restrictions about what weapons and monsters you could use based on where you were in the progression. And Memento Mori 2 had this kind of theme of we'll start with the more hellish levels and move to the more tech levels and reverse that kind of normal looks progression.
Yep.
But I mean, Requiem didn't even have that. Requiem had some rules about what monsters you could use when, but other than that, carte blanche, make a Doom level.
Right.
Whenever I join like a community project, like I always start, if there's no rules, I start imposing rules on myself. Like if I'm making a map for map 5, well, it can't be too huge, and maybe the player has the rocket launcher or the plasma rifle by then. Maybe I shouldn't use a lot of big, horrible enemies and can't make it too hard and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I think that nowadays, if you kind of posted to Doom Ward and said, let's make a Doom Ward, and people said, okay, well, what kind of Ward? And you just said, I'll just make some Doom levels.
Right.
Everybody will do that.
So Memento Mori 2, and Requiem, that was pretty much the brief, was, make a good Doom level. And so now I think that we're seeing a lot more projects that have a set of expectations that need to be kind of described,
like they have a direction.
Yeah, that's a new thing. I mean, once upon a time, you didn't need to define, what a room was, or what switcheroom actually meant, in terms of how things were going to be done. And so, if people got excited and started making levels straight away, it didn't matter, because, their whole brief was make a Doom level. And if they put a plasma rifle in when they shouldn't do, you just took it out. So.
Yeah.
at the same time, however, I mean, I recognize what you say, but then I'm thinking of, certain projects like Mayhem, for example, where its central idea is simply to make the project in May, and it will take 1 month to do, which is a very a very weak
lofty
gimmick,
goal.
I think, yeah.
I'm going to say a lofty goal, it seems like just a time constraint is not good enough to try to produce quality work or like a associated work. When the Plutonia Revisited Community project was made, there were some guidelines, one of which was the entire Megabot had to be made in 6 months, similar to the amount of time that Dario and Milo Casale made Plutonia, but that wasn't enough. The additional guidelines were to make it a Plutonia-ish map and really study the gameplay that Plutonia had and try to replicate that in the maps that you were going to make for the project. Basically make a, not quite a sequel, but a side story, a Gaiden of Plutonia.
Cool.
I mean, Mayhem, I guess, Mayhem 2012 had the Metal Hive theme.
Yeah.
Was supposed and Mayhem 2013 had the you can only use two monsters per level. So it does have an extra kind of gimmick to it. I think that, you can only use two monsters in a level may have not been a good choice of gimmick for you've only got 30 days to work this out, because part of the fun of Doom is the different tactical situations that you can have, and if you only you know, if you've only got, I don't know, chain gunners and demons on a level, that limits your tactical situations.
Mm-hmm. Do you think maybe that, like, some of these new projects that people propose, like, smack of a little bit of, not, like, desperation for something new, or do you think that, I don't know, like there's, like, I guess when you try to get people to create a lot of creative work, they'd have to, the guidelines have to be creative as well, and do you think maybe, like, people are rushing to, like, start to, like, want to create something new that, like, maybe bears their name or something, or what do you think the situation is?
I wouldn't call it desperation. I think people are definitely kind of looking for...
Maybe that's just me projecting then.
I think people are looking for a thing that makes their project distinctive.
Right.
Even if the distinction of the project is, you know, we're an E1 WOD, you know...
Or make a like, terrible map. Because that's actually a recent idea, wasn't it?
Let's make bad maps. Yeah, that one I don't get. But
yeah,
there's actually two of those. There's been a very recent one. There's the one that actually compiled and released within about 20 days or something. Complete mega. Yeah, let's make a terrible map set.
Yeah, well,
anybody can make a terrible map set, you know.
Well, I mean, I thought of that specifically in response to what Matt was saying, because I think... not to take a big dig at the guy, but I think he was Mr. the Joshman, who was lamenting the fact that he couldn't make top quality map systems, so he devised a way to get his name out there in a different way, which was to create.
Well, I would think that maybe every year or so we should have not like a megawad, but maybe a collection of maps just from newcomers, like people that are just new to the Doom editing, and they would be at the scrutiny of veterans of map making and Doom related stuff. But like, and that should be the way to not like it's kind of an initiation, but like for people that want to create content. But it's also we want to ensure that the content will be good eventually. Or
I think that's actually the proposal behind Nova the Birth, which was a megawad that's been in production for the last 8-9 months or so, or probably.
Nova was supposed to be a newbie megawad, though. Yep. I think that they kind of said, "Oh, but if you're not a newbie, you can still contribute." Which
yeah,
no, but that's
Phobos's name there, and I was a bit confused.
Yeah. You can't balk on a plan as soon as you put it into motion. You know, it's like out of like I guess the fear of not having too many maps. I mean, yeah, you have to really stick to your guns if you start a project. If you start, you know, opening the seams a little bit, it's not going to live up to its original intention.
My apologies, Adam, for not. Cluing you in at the start of this interview. I understand I've got a PM, but we do a little featurette here at the end of our interviews, mm-hmm. and at the end where we something called Desert Island Wads, which is very similar to the Desert Island Music's Desert Island Discs rather radio show back in the UK. And it asks you to select your 5 top map sets that you would take to an isolated desert island and play until the next ferry came to pick you up, which could be something.
Isolated desert island with power.
Just like that, yeah.
It's a very, very special desert island.
By chance, do you have your 5 selections at hand?
I do.
Fantastic. What are they and why?
Okay, so this I'll start with a disclaimer, which is that this list is predicated on my not having played much that came out in the last 8 years. So it's a fairly classics heavy list. And if your recent favorite isn't there, it's probably because I haven't played it. So with that in mind, my first selection would be Memento Mori 2, which was the first megawad I was involved with. One of my favorite megawads of all time. I think there's some really good levels in there.
Mm-hmm. Plenty of diversity, I guess.
Plenty of diversity.
That would see you through the cold, lonely nights on the island.
Yeah, and I really like the textures that they added for Memento Mori 2.
Mm-hmm.
Alien Vendetta would also be on the list. Again, it's a classic, I think, Doom megawad. Good, tough gameplay. It's probably not a surprise to people that it's there.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit out of the ordinary, I would take a map called 3X Play.
Oh, goodness. What is that?
It's a map by Bill McClendon, and it's a sort of medium to large Doom 2 map. came out in about 1995.
Okay.
But it has difficulty levels that are not just set to be sort of harder the higher the difficulty level, but to actually change the gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
So the layout, the layout of the monsters and the layout of the keys and the progression of the map is different on
so
each.
So if you selected a different difficulty level, wouldn't necessarily be. Well, that's interesting.
So I would take that.
Huh.
I would take one of the few modern map sets that I have played, which is Doom the way it did.
Hey!
Mostly for episode one.
Gotta give it the Bronx cheers whenever it turns up. Hey!
Yeah, mostly for episode one, which I really
crap.
And then The Darkening episode two.
That's interesting, yeah.
Because it was a last hurrah of a lot of really good map makers, and I remember being blown away by some of the screenshots that I saw on the website, because it was a project that I came back to Doom to find was going on and put a level in quite late in the process. Basically just came out of seeing all of these screenshots and going, wow, I need to, you know, try and do something like that.
That last one definitely strikes me as a map set that you would enjoy based of what you said about a fundamental, straightforward, good action Doom. I played the map set fairly recently, and although it certainly wasn't one of my absolute favourites, I did get that. Well, I think that just about wraps it up. Unless anything else you had to comment or come back to, there, Mr. Matt.
I can't really think of anything at the moment. I think all my questions have been answered.
Absolutely.
We got a lot of nostalgia in there. We got a lot of what people are doing these days and what it was like back then, and it was all a very wonderful experience that I quite enjoyed the nostalgia of, because, you know, I was there back then. Even though I was very, very young, I was still very much a part of that.
Actually, just one last question that comes to mind, actually.
Sure.
Since you were talking about the classic Megawads there, and I was thinking about how often they're listed. We see occasionally, actually quite often, the sort of thread crop up that asks you to list your top five or three, just, I guess, as we've done here. And then we see the classics like Memento Mori and typically AV is right at the top there. Do you think, with the amount of time that's passed now, people are just, I mean, I imagine many of them do like them as much as they say they do, but it's sort of embedded itself in the psyche of the community, and it's almost obligatory to list in the top five, almost to the extent that if you were asked to list, like, online auction sites, you would put eBay right at the top there, because it's the one thing you think of that comes to mind immediately at first.
Or Zombo.com.
Would you say there's... That mentality is my assessment is correct there?
Look, I guess, I mean, it always does come down to personal taste, but I mean, when I saw that thread, the top five, and half a dozen people in the first 10 responses listed Requiem.
Yep.
And you know, my response to that was the same as it's always been, which is I don't understand what people love about Requiem so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Someone obviously had a lot to do with Requiem, you know, it's got
some, that's what I love about Requiem, maybe.
It's got some very pretty maps, and it does have some very good maps, but it's a very uneven map set. And I think if it came out today, people would be, you know, pointing the finger at those maps.
Sling it over their shoulder.
Yeah, and we replayed, as I said, Memento Mori, the first one, recently for the Doomworld Megawad Club, and, you know, there's a lot to kind of criticize there. You know, you have to accept that it was, you know, 20 years ago that this was happening, or 18 years ago that this was happening, and that there's been a lot of maturation of what we expect out of levels since then. And, you know, so I think there is a measure of nostalgia in people's, you know, listing of those map sets. It's, you know, there is an affection there that a newer WOD probably doesn't profit from.
Yeah, I would definitely agree, yeah.
But they were still, you know, impressive achievements when they came out, and I don't think we should, you know, try to take that away from them at all, but yeah, I think there is a measure of that there.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Adam, for appearing on the show. It's been absolutely wonderful to say that. With utmost sincerity. And perhaps if Tango TV stays on in the future, we may be able to have you back, perhaps even for a discussion of Program B.
We haven't really switched over to saying that it's like Doom Radio, and we're still sticking with Tango TV.
Tango TV, yeah. Just to show our respects to who recently departed. Not in real life, just from the show.
Right. Awesome. Mm-hmm.
thanks very much for tuning in. Join us next time, where I believe we have an interview with Joe Polly. He Plutonia too. So thanks very much. Tune in then. This has been Tango TV. Goodbye.